Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Hey, it's always great to be here at Port Kennedy. If you haven't met me before, my name is Shannon. I'm involved with the Next Gen, so that's kids, youth and young adults across the campuses and everything that's happening. So I get the joy of being able to jump into all the different ministries and see everything that God is doing. But I've always loved when I can come to Port Kennedy campus. My family's here. Tam's actually in Jump, serving in Jump, because they needed a hand, so she's in. That's my wife right there. And the kids are in Rockets and Sprouts, having a good time. But, man, God is just doing beautiful things. And he's doing beautiful things in me. I'm just so thankful what God is doing. He's so good. He's so, so good. And I've had a great conference, and I got the privilege of having God work through me to see really beautiful things happen in some of our kids and our teenagers. I was in the youth stream for a session on the Saturday, and Pastor Fred just preached. And man, our teenagers are hungry. Hey, they're really hungry for the things of God. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for Conan and the team. But I got to pray with this young girl, and I just felt just the love of the Father for her. And it's cool now that I'm a dad. Like, God often kind of helps me minister that whole heart of the Father, which is really cool. I feel like I'm still too young to do that, but all right, whatever God wants to do, right? And just as the Lord was just loving on her, and I just felt the Lord say, just put your arm around her and just hold her. And as I did that, just the love of God just ministered, and she just let out three sort of shrieks, and then just this freedom, you know, and just completely set free. And it's just Jesus loving on her. We didn't have to go demon hunting or anything like that, but just God just setting her free. And then this 12-year-old was just actually looking quite scared at the altar. So I was like, let me go. And I especially just have eyes for those that are a bit overwhelmed by what's happening. And I went up to her and I said, hey, are you doing okay? And it wasn't what I expected. She was fine. She said, yeah, I have an addiction to gaming and I don't want it anymore. And I was like, oh, bless you. And so, yeah, we laid it down and she turned from that. And the Lord just was so touching her heart. And it was incredible, you know, just to see. You know, we can be in a big group of people, but God sees every one of us. And he's like, yeah, I want to minister to you personally. And so I pray that happens for you today too. And yeah, lots of fun things happened. And I love it. The Lord kind of, he's never boring. That's for sure. He's never boring. I was sharing something that God did in me over conference. There was a lot of things. Like, I'm just so thankful, God, because I'm busy. Like, I'm working across conference, and I'm jumping from kids' stream to youth stream to all these different places. But then as I jump into a session, like, I walked in halfway through the Sunday morning session with Pastor Ben, and I ended that session, the front on the altar, curled up in the fetal position, like, just sobbing, like, getting absolutely just, like, ministered to by the Lord. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, and I was barely here for half of it, you know, and I had this one. Let me tell you, this is a funny one. This is very interesting. I think that I got like slain in the spirit. If you know what that means, it's like where you fall down under the power of God. But without the falling part, like, no, let me just explain. We're in a staff session before conference, and Pastor Ben was preaching, and he kind of went after the fear of man stuff and a few other things, and just everyone just like really went there. Like, there was just this real like crying out to God and stuff. And you ever been in a space where like God's really moving, but you're just like, you're not in it, like you're not riding that, like you just feel really disconnected, or like, I'm trying to get, because I don't want to miss this, like this is epic, I don't want to miss this, and I was struggling to engage, and I just sort of felt, all right, I'm going to walk up over to the side here, and I just started to be really honest with God. God loves it when we're really honest with him, and we don't just say stuff that sounds good, but we're just really genuine with our heart. And I just started to say, God, I don't want to be afraid of what people think. I want you to minister to me, and just sharing and stuff. And I felt the Lord say, okay, well, if you want to be free from like the fear of man, like, well, you can't care what anyone else here thinks and stuff. And I was like, all right, what are you gonna do? You gonna ask me to run around screaming or something like that? What's it this time? You know, you want me to? I don't know. And I actually felt God say, I want you to lay on the ground, but as you get on the ground, I just want you to do it kind of like. The picture was like just like a, almost like a drunk person or something, like just flail your legs around and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, here we go. And I just was like, all right, God, I love you. And like, you know, the legs are gone and all this kind of thing. And I just laid down and just began to, I don't know, just doing what Feli was telling me to do. And just as I was talking, I just laid there. And then after a while, I was like, oh, I can't get up. Like, I can't move. Like the weight of God's glory was like on me, which is often what I've felt when I do like fall under the power of Spirit. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And like, I remember just sitting there for a while and then getting up and just feeling just light as a feather and so free. I was with Tracy. Where's Tracy? She's running Life Found. Oh, awesome. You guys are missing out. And next thing you know, we're in the foyer at Myrie, and Tracy and I are, Tracy's teaching me how to do, it's called a leap in ballet. I'm not going to show you. I'll probably pull a muscle, Steve. We'll pray for that. All right. So, the first one I did, apparently my knees were a little too bent. So, you got to really straighten the knees. And why am I doing this? This has nothing to do with my message. Why do you just faint? No, it's stupidity. All right. You got to get a good leap, but you got to stretch and point the toes, all right? Put your phone down. Dang it. I don't care what you think. All right. Look at that. Yeah, how was that? How was that, Emma? How'd I do? Yeah? I think I still need to extend at the back, but... Anyways, there was no point in any of that whatsoever. We should do... something in the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 18. All right. God's doing a really great work. And let it flow, man. How do we... All right, here's the question, right? So for me, I've had a lot of God do awesome things, and it's been so easy for me just to let that kind of slide out and drift away. Or like, okay, God's really stirred this heart for the lost to me. I want it to keep stirring. Like, I don't want next week to be like, oh, yeah, I kind of have this heart for the lost again. And then a few months, it's like, oh, yeah, what did I do with that? Like, I just kind of let that slide, right? Like, or God's just been shifting something in your mind, whatever that may be. But the question I want to ask is, how do we sustain it? How do we run with what God is doing in us? And if you weren't at Cornerstone, how do I run in and jump on board with what God is doing? And you know, just asking this question, I really felt... God kept bringing me back to this scripture, and it's just literally this one verse. I'll bring some more context in a minute, but I'll just read it. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46 says, "The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab." Ahab's riding a chariot, just so you know, all right? "He ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel." A casual 25-kilometer sprint outrunning a chariot. The title of my message is actually called Running. Who loves running? We got any runners here? Yeah? No. No, we don't. Someone put their hand up and then they put it down. Okay, yeah, no, I'm not a runner. Is that bad? I've been trying to be a runner. I say trying because I've been running. I bought like shoes for running. That's a dumb purchase. No, I was running a couple of times a week. I haven't run yet this year, but I'm still thinking about it. It's still in the calendar. Just go for a run, you know. But you know what? That doesn't even matter either. Actually, let's skip it. We're wasting time. We're called to run, right? Okay. We got to just move on. We're called to run, and I sense the word of the Lord that we're called to run faster and further than our natural ability, than what we can do in our own strength, our own spiritual stamina, right? And I looked at this verse, and this guy literally outruns a chariot. Like, how cool is that? Like, that's such a cool miracle. Like, I want to do that. I want to be like, you know, we're heading home back to Bibra Lake from here, and I'm just like, you know what, Tam, I'm just going to run. You drive, you take the kids, and see who gets there first. And just like, imagine me being on the freeway, just being like, see her? Like, that would be incredible. That would be amazing. But, we're called to run. And I get this sense that, like, there's two elements to this. The first is we want to run with what God is doing in us and not just let it sort of slide and fade away. But the other is we want to still be running to our last breath. You know, I've seen...
I've seen way too many Christians that were so involved in ministry or serving or just really in love with Jesus just fizzle out, like, or just get really disillusioned or bitter or apathetic, or like, okay, I'll just still go to church, and that's kind of the reality of it. And that really breaks my heart. You know, something that God really stirred in me, even as a 17-year-old when I'd first started coming to Nations, I remember actually seeing like father's men at the back just, you know, not interested at all. And I was jumping at the front, going wild, and these guys at the back just normal. And I felt just the Lord almost stirring a conviction in me of like, I don't want to get like that. And I don't, no judgment to those guys. And I don't know them. I don't know what they're doing. But just stirring me this conviction, like, if I'm going to jump and praise God now, I want to jump and praise God for as long as my body can allow me to, right? Because He doesn't change, right? He hasn't become less awesome, right? And so how do we keep on running? How do we run in what God's doing with us and partner with that? And how do we run the race with endurance? And that's what I saw in this passage. And I'll give you a bit of context. So this is Elijah, and it's in a time where King Ahab is leading the Israelites, and he's completely turned from God. He's turned the whole nation from God, and they've actually hunted down the prophets of God, right? So one guy's hidden 100 in a couple of caves and that kind of thing. And so they're fully in this space of idolatry, worshiping this false god named Baal, who's meant to be God of the weather, who can call down thunder and fire and rain and whatever else. And so Elijah, as the prophet, the man of God, actually prays and declares a drought. So there is no rain, which is basically a complete kind of spit in the face to this false god Baal, because like, oh, he can't bring rain. And it comes to this point where Elijah shows up to King Ahab and says, hey, I want you to bring all the prophets of Baal, all of these men of God to Mount Carmel, and we're going to have a face-off. And basically, whoever's the real God calls down fire on their sacrifice. And there's this whole hoo-ha, and obviously no fire comes down with Baal and all of that. And then he calls upon the fire of God, and the fire comes. And it says the Israelites all responded, and they lay prostrate on the ground, declaring, He is the Lord. He is God. It's like, yes, He is. Like, finally. And so Elijah then sends the people out to go and kill all the prophets, the false prophets of Baal, according to Mosaic law. And so the people turn back to God. King Ahab is still kind of on the fence. But Elijah then declares that it's now time to release the rain, because idolatry has been cast out. You see, it's actually idolatry is what stops the reign of God, right? It's what stops His presence from falling. If we actually want more of God in our lives, we have to actually search our hearts. Where is there things that are taking the place of God in my life? Yeah? And so Elijah then climbs up to Mount Carmel, and he begins to pray for rain. Seven times it says. And after this persistent prayer, well, he sees a small cloud just the size of a hand rising up over the water. And he says, okay, well, that's rain. Now, Ahab, you need to go. It's going to rain like crazy. And then the next thing, he's tucked his cloak into his belt, and he is literally outrunning a chariot 25 kilometers. Very cool. But I feel like Elijah gives us three keys on how we can run supernaturally, faster and further than we can in our own strength. And the first one is, he made God's business his business, right? God's business is my business. It's not a side hustle, right? It's not a little side gig that I add to part of my life. Yeah, I kind of do some stuff with God here. No. Everything. My life is about whatever you're about. My life is your business. If your business is to work in my life and to change lives around me, to see people who don't know Jesus know Jesus, then that needs to be what I care about, right? That needs to be what I'm laying down my life for. I felt the Lord say, you know, what upsets you? Is it what upsets the Lord? You know, we gotta come back into alignment with what He is about. Because Elijah's entire focus was about the people coming back to God. That was his entire business, because that was what God's heart was yearning for, His people to come back to Him. That's the same as today, right? It's the same mission. And so this whole account of Elijah is actually about going after this idolatry. And it wasn't until they removed the idolatry that's where the heavy rain from God followed. You know, Jesus shows us, He says, I only do as I see the Father doing. Well, how did He see? How did He know what the Father's doing? Well, because He waited on God. He prioritized spending time with the Father. Then even when people were plotting to murder Him, He wasn't overwhelmed. He didn't break down. Even when He was harassed and surrounded by crowds saying, heal me, give us another sign, teach us more, we're hungry, whatever. He was never at any point overwhelmed. Except at one occasion when He was literally about to carry the sins of the world and die a terrible death on the cross. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. But what does he do? He seeks the Father and he makes a decision. He says, not my will, but your will. I'm going to be about your business, God. Because you see, God can't grace us to something he hasn't called us to. You see, let me read you first, Isaiah 40, 31. But those who hope in the Lord, or those who wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. For some of us, this is going to be as simple as just, okay, I'm going to spend time with God every day. Like, read your Bible. It's a love letter from God, right? You'll run faster and further than you can conceive. And it'll be like you're not even trying, right? It's not about those, about us being busy doing what we want to do or keeping ourselves covered and comfortable. But we got to be about his business and trust him with everything. Trust him with the rest, right? You see, Elijah's priority, it wasn't about comfort. It wasn't about recognition or his voice being heard. You know, it wasn't about being the hero. How much is, you know, for us, is it about power or achievement or who we're affiliated with? You know, it's about people turning to God. The Lord's work was his sole desire. We can't share our lordship with, all right, this is a bit of what God wants to do, but I'm also going to keep my comfort. I don't know what comfort is. It's like a croissant mixed with a crumpet. You can't have both. You can't have what the Lord wants and your own desires or this pursuit of money or success or, you know, we got to run into all that God has for us. It has to be all about him. And you'll run faster and further. You ride this incredible adventure of like, wow, look at what God is doing in me and look at what God's doing through me. This is incredible because he won't grace you to do what he hasn't called you to do. He won't enable you for something that isn't in his heart because it won't bless you. And he wants the best for you. We sometimes forget that. Like, God's asking you to do this, so he's calling you to lead and follow this way because it's actually for your best life, right? You see, my son, Caleb, he's one and he loves to climb, and that's great for, you know, gross motor skills and planning and risk evaluation and all those other good child development terms. But if he wants to climb up onto the kitchen bench where there's a burning hot stove, then I'm not going to help him. Oh, this is great for your development. This is great for you. No, right? That's not what's best for him, right? Same with Shiloh. She loves to sing and to dance, and she got a disco light for her birthday, which I really love turning on every single day in my lounge room. But am I going to give her a ride into Northbridge because she's seen some places with flashing lights and loud music? Like, no, I'm not, because that's not what's best for her, right? Now, these are extreme, but we can treat the grace of God like that. It's not about what you want to do. We wonder why do I feel so stressed and overwhelmed? Well, are you actually doing what God's graced you to do? And are you walking with him in that? Sometimes God can call us to do something and we say, thanks, God, I'll take it from here. And that's why you're overwhelmed, right? But if God has called you to it, he's graced you for it. So you actually have to partner with him in that. Keep it as his business and you'll run. You'll sustain that. Being about his business is also for our benefit. It's what we're created for. Sometimes we go, oh, we have to pay a cost. Yes, we do. And yes, there's sacrifice. But ultimately, it's for the greatest reward. It's the best life we can live. You know, I minister in Cambodia still a fair bit, and I'll chat to missionaries. I'm like, stop saying, woe is me, your life is so hard. If this is what God's called you to, there's nothing better you could be doing. There's absolutely nothing. This is the best life that God has for you. If God's called you to be in that workplace, be at home with the kids, whatever, this is the best life that God's called you to. But you have to align your heart with his. God, what is your business? What's on your heart for today, for every day? Amen? God's business is my business. Second one, we got to answer the call to prayer. Now, I'm a doer. I don't like to go on little personal retreats and you know, and just ponder the world and write poems for Jesus. That's just not me. Bless you if it is. I'm all for it. But I want to do stuff. Like, I want to pioneer stuff for God. I want to see people step into their calling and run for God. I want to see lives change. I want to see a move of God. I want to see more churches. I want to see revival. I think there's a lot of you like this, yeah. But when we look at this passage, what releases the rains from heaven, it's not actually doing more. It's prayer. It's prayer. He prayed 7 times. That's biblically symbolic. It's significant because 7 times is that of completion, right? We actually need to pray until it's done, pray until it's completed. But it's also a number of persistence. We can't give up. I pray once or twice for something and then I'm discouraged if it hasn't happened yet. Man, we got to answer the call to prayer, right? If we want to see the reign of heaven in this campus, over this city, over our families, right? Well, we got to pray about it. We've got to be petitioning because, you know what? Revival prayer nights can't be negotiable. Like, we got to pray. You know, like you're actually getting, like, everyone's helping you do it. You have people that are making a nice atmosphere for you, other people that are praying around you. Like, it doesn't get much easier or help. Like, it's hard to do it by yourself. Like, I can agree that too. But here's another opportunity to do it together and petition. You know, I bring my kids to revival prayer every Wednesday that it happens, every 4 weeks. And it's not because I work there and I need to be there or whatever. It's because I want my kids to grow up in an environment of prayer. I want this to be normal to them. And yes, they might sit over to the side coloring or whatever, but every now and then they'll come and they'll grab me and we'll worship together or I'll pray over them. And I genuinely believe there's something that's happening through osmosis. You know, they're absorbing it, that God is speaking. And, you know, and I'll be at home and I'll hear Shiloh singing, you know, "Come Alive in the Name of Jesus," or she something that we've been worshiping together. And I'm like, it's going in. Like, there's stuff that God's doing them, you know. But I've come to a point, and it probably shouldn't have taken me this long, but I've realized my greatest messages and ministry and whatever else hasn't been when I've crafted a message and I'm going to put that there and really studied up. No, it's just been about how much time I've spent with the Lord and in prayer and petitioning and listening, right? We got to petition heaven. You know, Pastor Benny preached one session about having a heart for the lost. And he's awesome, right? Because he just doesn't care what anyone thinks. And he's not trying to please anyone. And he basically cut the music. He's like, "No, you guys don't play because we like the comforts of worship, right? Like, I'm a bit tired of praying now. Let's sing some songs, you know?" And he cut it all. And he got us praying for the lost, for family, for friends. And it was probably at least 45 minutes to an hour. I was like, "Oh, goodness, I need to go preach in the kids' ministry." I had to leave halfway through. But I found that hard, right? And I could tell the people around me were finding it hard. Like, we're like, "Oh, man, we've prayed for 10 minutes now. We're good," you know? Like, but like, it was so easy just to be done and be ready to move on. But God was wanting to do a deep work in me. And as I partnered with that, like, I had to literally press in and push past my flesh and my comfort, right? Like, something actually shifted in me. And this activation to reach the lost again fully shifted in me, right? To the point, like, there's something that was said across conference that, like, Pastor Ben said. He said, "I want every day to represent. I want to speak about Jesus every day to someone," and that's so stuck with me. I was like, I could do that. Like, that's not impossible. And so, I've started to step out. I was at Woolworths on the Monday morning after conference, and I just had to quickly grab a dummy because Caleb lost all of his at conference. We slept fine that night. It was fine. and some milk and stuff, and I was self-checkout, okay, let's go. And as I'm leaving, God's like, "You need to go talk to her, the attendant lady, and tell her that I love her." And I'm like, "Yeah, but I'm gonna go. Is it just me? I mean, I've been wanting to do this, but it's probably just in my head. I gotta keep going." And God's like, "Where are you going?" And I was like, "Okay." And I turn around and I had to do the walk of shame in my head all the way back to Woolworths into the checkout area. You're supposed to come the other way, right? I was like, "Hey, this might sound weird, but I'm a Christian, and I just want to tell you that God loves you, and He sees you, and I hope you have a really great day." Okay. And I just left. I'm getting there, all right? I'm getting there. And the moment that I did briefly see her, she was like, "Oh, thank you." Like, and it actually really touched her, but I just took off, right? So I was getting there. But then the next day, I was like, "Okay, that was good, but that was okay. Like, nobody died. I was fine, right? Can go again, right?" And so I was at Garden City, and I was just hosting Pastor Somali and Joshua. They were getting some clothes and things. And again, I was like, okay. I prayed it in the car, actually, with them. I was like, "God, give us opportunities. Help us to see people the way you see them, to have a chance to give us words of knowledge, help us to speak to them." And again, that's new. I wouldn't normally pray that, right? And so I saw this lady at the makeup section, and we just kept walking, and I wrestled and I argued, and then we got to Just Jeans, and I was like, "Okay, you guys get some jeans. I need to go and chat to someone." Came out, said, "Hey, how are you doing?" She said, "Yeah, really great, thanks. How are you?" I said, "Good." She's like, "Can I help you?" I was like, "No, I don't think I need any makeup." And then I said, "Can I ask you a question?" And she said, "Yeah, sure." And I said, this is what I felt the Lord saying. I said, "Is your father sick?" And she goes, "Are you a Christian?" And I was like, "Yeah, I am." She shows me, you know, her Christian-looking tattoos and things. And then she says to me, "What kind of sick?" I was like, ah, that's really testing the word of knowledge. And I said, I feel like, you know, something here, I don't know. The word I actually had was unwell, but I said sick. And then she said, well, he's not sick, but he's been wrestling with addiction. And he'd been addicted to meth for a long time. And we journeyed with a couple in Cambodia. That's literally straight from hell, that stuff. Like, but he'd gone off that, but was now an alcoholic. And so we just talked a bit about that. And I said, can I pray for you? And she said, yeah, I'd love that. And this is the middle of the shopping center. I'm praying that the Lord really just minister to her dad and restore him and help him to see that you're the answer, that he needs you. And I just prayed for her that she would know that God loves her and sees her. And this whole moment is evident of that. And just, amen. She says, oh, my goodness, like, I'm going to cry. Like, you have no idea. And she just, and she said, what church do you go to? I was like, oh, I go to Nation. She's like, oh, I used to go there. I was like, well, great. Like, and she said, I'm going to come again. I'll see you soon. And I was like, awesome. And she just said to me, but she said, you have no idea. Like, I've literally just been saying, God, are you really there? Like, are you actually there? Do you care? Do you see what's going on? And then you've just come and, like, talks to me. And, like, yeah, that's changed my, just everything. And I was like, wow, God bless you. And I walked away and I was like, yes, yes. And I was like, well, I did it. Like, I just literally stepped out. And I just, as I did, I had such a heart of love for this person. I had no idea who they were, but, like, I genuinely cared. And I felt like God was just activating that. And I think God was really kind that the first two, nobody abused me or anything else, like, because it's getting my confidence up to keep on stepping out. But I realized that, like, that all came out of that space of prayer. Like, actually really, okay, no, I need to press in. Like, I want this to shift in me. I want to be about what you're about. Like, I want to care about all these people around me that don't know Jesus, right? Because prayer prepares us. Prayer prepares us. Prayer aligns us to his business. And prayer breaks a way through in us and through those that we're praying for, right? Because our temptation when we really want to see God move in greater ways is actually we try to do more. We try to work harder, we try to strive, or we try to harass that family member about their faith, you know, to try and get them somewhere right. But we actually have to pray. We got to remember this is not a battle of flesh and blood, right? We got to answer the call to prayer. And what does that look like for you? Maybe you are great at praying, and maybe God's saying, hey, keep going. Maybe you're like, I talked to God a couple times, you know, like, what does that look like? Because this is not a battle against flesh and blood, and we got work to do. Amen. Some of you, you're really passionately serving the Lord, and that's so awesome. But God's not looking for you to do more. He's looking for you to pray more. Yeah. Matthew 7:7, keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you'll find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. Some of us, we've just given up on what we've been praying for, right? Or who we've been praying for. Who have you stopped praying for? Elijah prayed 7 times for rain. Man, I'm lucky to pray a couple times and I'll give it up. Thankfully, God doesn't have that approach towards us, yeah? Oh, you know, I asked them to serve again several times. Oh, well, they haven't done that, so I just won't do what I wanted to do in them. Or ask them to lay down that habit that, you know, doesn't draw you closer to me when you get home from work or when you wake up in the morning. And I really want to increase my anointing in there. I want to do some work in their heart, but I guess I'll just leave them too. I guess they don't want to. I'll give up on them. Thank God he doesn't give up on us, right? He doesn't get discouraged by us. And so my heart, I want to reciprocate that. God, if that's your heart towards me, I want to do that. I want to petition heaven, you know, because it does something in me. It opens heaven over me. It impacts lives and it moves the hand of God, amen? Just a note, you know, Elijah was alone through all this moments that happened. There was no band or preacher. There was no atmosphere. But it was just a conviction and a hunger for a move of God. Is your faith the same when it's just you? That's okay if it's not, right? There's no judgment, but it's an opportunity for growth, right? It just reveals we need to let the Lord take us deeper in our convictions, right? Because we can't just feed off the faith of others. Yes, we need that, but we need to have our own faith, amen? We've got to answer the call to prayer. Set times if you need to, you know, send yourself to bed early so you can get up in the morning. Come to revival prayer nights that happen every 4 weeks. Make a prayer list, right? Keep on asking and seeking and knocking, amen? Because it's spiritual. We want to keep on running in all that God has for us. That is what rejuvenates us as well. You see, the enemy is rooting for us to get distracted, disillusioned, discouraged, right? And the reality is the mission is great. Like, the needs are great. Like, there's people all around us who don't know God. Our families are struggling with different things. There's so much going on. We can feel out of depth or inadequate or under-resourced at times. But that's actually the perfect setup because it means we have to hope on Him, in Him. We have to wait on Him. We need Him to work in and through us, yeah? And so we look at Elijah and he says, 1 Kings 18, verse 43 to 45, he says, "Go and look toward the sea," he tells his servant. And he went up and looked. "There's nothing there," he said. Seven times, Elijah says. So he kept praying until there was something there. He says, "Go back." The seventh time, the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." You've got to understand, it's not raining. It's not raining. He's saying go because the rain's going to stop. Like, it's not raining. Number three, he sees with faith. We've got to start seeing with faith. Because the next verse, right, verse 45, says, "Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab then rode off to Jezreel." Ahab wasn't seeing anything, right? We've got to see with faith and then run in faith, right? It might look like in your family, in your walk with God, in what's happening in your mind, in your believing for that co-worker to know Jesus. It might look like it's just the smallest things happening. Or it might look like nothing. And he just kept praying until it looked like something, right? But you might start to see something small, just the smallest shift. You got to take a hold of that and say, "Yes, the rain is coming. Yes, that shift is happening, right? I'm going to run with that. I'm going to run with what God is saying and God is doing." Maybe that's for the prodigals in your family. Maybe they asked once about how's church. "Hey, we'll take that. God, I thank you what you're doing in his heart. God, I call him home in Jesus' name. I'm going to run with that." You know, maybe it's the journey of wholeness in your mind. Yes, take a hold of those promises that God has given you, right? Worship team, you guys can come join me. You know, see where there's an open cloud, a small cloud, sorry. And that's an open door. You know, run through that door. That's where there's grace, you know. What you're working on, what you're praying for. Is there a cloud or are you trying to make it happen yourself? Trying to make it rain yourself? We can't. So we've got to see the small cloud in people around us. People are hard work. People are frustrating. You know, my job would be just awesome if there was no people. But I also wouldn't have a job. We've got to see the small clouds in people and what God's doing in people, in our spouse, in our kids, our friends. We just see the small cloud and see that in faith, right? See the small cloud and how God is working through you. It might feel slow. It might feel like maybe there's a calling and it hasn't happened yet. Well, be faithful in where he's got you. Faithful with a little, he'll trust you with more, right? See the small cloud in his provision. Maybe you're like, "Man, my mortgage is going up and up. Bills I can't see us having enough." Well, see what you can. God has. Maybe you've got a job. Wow, God is providing. I'm going to take a hold of that. I see that. I'm going to run with faith. God is good and God is my provider, right? See the small cloud in your breakthrough too. Man, it might feel like it's been a journey. It might feel like it's one step forward, two steps back. But hey, I see the one step forward. I see God moving in that space. I see something shifting. I'm going to take a hold of that. I'm going to run with that. Some of you, I sense you've been so overwhelmed with what you see in the natural. But it's trying to say, no, I need to see in faith again. I need to see in faith again for my family, for those around me, for what you've called me to. You see, just like the blind men in the Bible, right? They called out, they went to Jesus and encountered him and he restored their vision again. He restored their sight to see. God's business is my business. It's got to be the cry of our heart. We've got to answer the call to prayer and we're going to see with faith, amen? Because when we get to the end, we want to hear, "Well done. You did good. You were faithful." And we want to run this race with endurance, amen? We don't want to just be a firework Christian that was, "Wow, look at all God's doing," and then we're gone, you know? We want to run this race to the very end. We want to be just in love with Jesus, in fact, more so at the end of our days than where we are now. But we've got to align with what's in his heart. We've got to start praying and say, "God," you know, it says pray in the Spirit. That means actually praying where you're aligned with what's in God's heart. And it just flows, and he answers that, yeah? And we've got to see with faith. We've got to see where it seems like nothing's. And we've got to see with faith. You know, we prayed at the start that there's a mandate on that. There's an anointing on this campus to really see the lost found. Start seeing with faith the rose field. Let it actually shift and do it a bit of a discomfort in you, you know? that, man, I'm not okay with this being half empty. Like, yes, we've made room. We've gone to double services, so there's room for the lost to come in. Because we can't just be our comfortable little happy clappy church. We've got to reach people, yeah?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.